From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl. I'm with BFF Keon, and Pleb Poet has decided to join us. Let me eat that real quick. There you go.
Hey. Keon, we're talking about my favorite.
There you go. We're talking about your favorite person in the world, Jack Dorsey, this week. Keon, how was your week?
Oh, it was really good. I can't even describe all the great things that happened. I also don't want to brag about how awesome my life is. Everyone online, it's a bad look. So I'll just say that I spent most of my time in my office and I did nothing otherwise, and that will make people feel better maybe about their lives. That's what I did this week. How was your week, Pleb Poet?
Okay. I just want to make a quick clarification about who my favorite person in the world is. Number one, it's going to be Austin Kelsey. And then after that, it's going to be Ethan Hawke. And then maybe...
Ethan Hawke, really?
Yeah,
local.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So you really like that Rogan podcast with him, probably.
I did really like it. It was great. He had some new stories I hadn't heard before, so that was great. Because I probably heard every podcast he's been on by now, which is not a lot.
If Ethan Hawke came out with a Bitcoin exchange, Bitcoin app thing, would you use it instead of Cash App?
Wow, I would have such a conflict right there, maybe. I would try it.
Yeah. You'd be obligated to.
I would be obligated to try it. If he's number two. If he's number two, yeah.
At least until Austin comes out with his own.
Yeah. But I don't know if Jack Dorsey is third. He might be in the top five, though.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Dang. Love demoted. To today on You Got Fired, Jack Dorsey.
You Got Fired.
If you've never seen this creative show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top three stories on Stacker News every week. It's the front page of Bitcoin. This week, our most popular video was the BTC Prague one. It had 19 views. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think they retweeted it, so...
Oh,
they
good.
Liked us talking about them.
Yeah, I think there was a comment there we'll talk about later. But if you're interested in all the sorts of crazy stuff that we do, go ahead and take a look. There's a bunch of Wumble clips of here, some surveillance stuff, some AI girlfriend stuff. We got it all. It's like a drive-through for news on Stacker News Live YouTube channel. Definitely unsubscribe.
I think calling it news is a bit overselling it. And yeah.
I mean, we cover the news. And
unsubscribe
we talk about it,
while... While
I think,
we have
I think it's just more entertaining form of news, maybe, when we're in a good mood. But
I don't know. Is anyone learning anything? Is what
I don't know. People keep subscribing for some strange reason.
I mean,
it just makes no sense.
We're just
I feel like we were a lot better. We were definitely better at our jobs like 200 episodes ago. I would say we've gotten worse, but that's me. I'm a harsh critic.
Wait, that's your opinion is what you mean.
I think we were better at talking about the news like 200 episodes ago.
Well, what changed?
I think we just got jaded.
jaded.
Bitcoin has a way of jading you over time, and I think that's what happened.
You mean we need... So we, like, need to, like, be more bullish and stuff and hopeful?
No, I'm saying, yeah, we were definitely more hopeful. I mean, okay. Get the DVD. It's on Fountain, but, we spent a lot of time looking at it. I'm sure Wumble would agree. Wumble, would like to hear your thoughts on that. But we heard it from Blockchain Book. He basically told me that in TapConf, remember? It was just like, yeah, you've gotten more jaded over the years. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why people are subscribing. It makes no sense.
Don't you feel that you have?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's what Bitcoin does to you. It just makes you tired. And over time, like, you lose all that joyfulness. I'm trying to find a way to get it back, but it's a work in progress.
I don't know if I feel jaded. I just feel...
You definitely.
I feel like I'm
has some takes.
I am less susceptible to certain kinds of false hopes now.
Mm.
I think, but is that jaded? I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's definitely jaded.
I know it's like it's sort of like being jaded.
Yeah, if everything that comes out of your mouth is negative and not hopeful, that's jaded.
If anything comes out of my mouth,
if
it's
everything
not?
That comes out of your mouth is.
Are you saying? So you're saying everything that comes out of my mouth is not hopeful.
Most time these days, yeah.
Pretty
Wait,
much.
But that isn't most isn't everything. So let's get clear here.
Let's go. I would say like 80-20.
Okay, so.
That's a shot in the dark, though. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm more like, I feel like I'm like, I was at 90% last year, 90-10 last year, and then this year I've come down, so I'm probably like 80-20 now, like you.
Okay.
Yeah. We're about even. Let's see who can be even more hopeful and optimistic as the year goes on.
Yeah.
Look at your face.
Have a hopeful competition.
I'm hopeful about Bitcoin. I'm not hopeful about people as relationship with Bitcoin. Like, that's like where my hope kind of ends.
Yeah.
It's like, I think Bitcoin's hard, and people won't get it for a long time.
What about you, Pleppo? How do you feel about this?
I'm hopeful, and I also kind of just like do my own thing and don't really
care.
Don't really get into the weeds of things that would make me jaded. And I kind of just take it a day at a time, and I just say, praise God.
There you go. we're going to jump into the top three stories now on Snacker News Live. The number three top story this week is A Layman's Guide to BIP 110. Speaking about being hopeful, this is from Billy the Kid. He sent it all to Lomp. 12 comments, 13,500 sats. Keon, what's going on this week?
Yeah, we don't have to go over this too much, but it is a like nice overview of like a argument against BIP 110 for someone who maybe hasn't been paying a lot of attention over the last few weeks. Where we discussed BIP 10 quite a lot. I don't think a lot of people have paid attention to the details. They're certainly paying attention to the drama on various social networks because that is fun. But this isn't really fun trying to understand what's going on. But LOP does a pretty good job, I think, of providing a position against the fork. He describes it as adding 7 new restrictive rules to Bitcoin transactions. And that's kind of what the main thing that the fork does, and it tries to do that in a temporary, it claims it'll only be temporary and they'll reevaluate in a year. So after a year, those changes will fall out or get reestablished, or new rules will come in. His arguments against it are primarily that it will likely freeze funds in edge cases. So if anyone is holding on to while it exempts any UTXOs prior to activation, if anyone has like pre-signed transactions that are invalid in this fork, they won't be able to get them confirmed. So that's kind of sucks. Let's see. It also suggests that the network can choose after the fact, after putting rules into place, that it will change the rules to the disadvantage of certain people and certain transactions, which kind of murkies the water with respect to censorship resistance. Claims that the big reason with spam is much more that we don't have a competitive fee market. There's just the blocks are kind of empty, so there's nothing pricing out spam. And that regardless of the transaction mechanisms that we have, the fee market is a bigger thing to consider when we have spam. So it's not that we have these certain transactions that BIP 110 is attempting to restrict that causes spam. It's just that it's really cheap to put things on chain because there's no one trying to put things on chain right now. You know, a lot more stuff about dividing the ecosystem, but I also wanted to cover he makes a few predictions. He thinks a BIP 110 supporter will get desperate around the time that the fork is going to activate and put
his predictions
put CP on the chain is what he predicts. What else does he say? He says it won't activate by a 55% miner threshold. He thinks Ocean will be the only pool running BIP 110, and if they stay on the fork, they'll only produce 1 to 2 blocks per day, and it'll take them basically 3 years to get to the next difficulty adjustment, which is, you know, two weeks or so. So what the rest of the network with a super majority of hash rate will take them 2 weeks. It'll take Ocean 3 years because they'll have such little hash rate. Yeah, that's kind of what's going on. My prediction is that Ocean will capitulate. I think they will. Before something will happen before activation where it seems like it's not going to activate, I think they'll just stop pretending that they're, or stop believing that this will happen and stop all the FUD around it and stuff. Are you looking for...
No, keep talking. I was trying to get something ready here.
Yeah, that's all. That's most of what I have to say. It's like a nice. Last week we covered Melvin Carvalho's pro BIP 110 website that was kind of, it was kind of like BIP 110 is inevitable. There's no harm. It does no harm. It's great. It was relatively light on the details, and this is a blog against it. I think that is. Has enough detail where you can kind of understand what's going on and then think about it a little more.
Hey guys, this is Super Testnet. Today I just wanted to show off my latest invention, which is Forkalicious. What is Forkalicious? Well, it is a fork visualizer. It lets you visualize possible outcomes of the BIP 110 soft fork if it becomes contentious. And I want to show you guys
super
how it works.
Made a so when you load up really interesting video about the different scenarios that would happen if the fork actually took place. And I think it's just a really good kind of base understanding of like how. Kind of takes what I guess Jameson Lopp was trying to do with words.
She's wearing your jacket.
And it's this one feels a little bit more just kind of like educational for so the plebs can kind of understand what's going on. But he kind of goes through it all. I definitely recommend checking it out. And yeah, I think that's kind of my opinion on it. I don't know.
I've got a question about this.
Yeah.
Will there be a song? Forkalicious to
oh,
come.
That does sound like a
Forkalicious.
Oh yeah. Wow!
Well, there's a.
We need it.
What would be the backing? Because you always use backing tracks. What would be the backing track though?
Forkalicious. That song.
How does that song go?
You know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't remember it.
Well, if I sang a little bit of it, YouTube would flag it.
Just give me the hum.
It's
oh,
like
you're going to do such a good job that YouTube's going to be like, this is copyright.
Exactly. Because
the Black Eyed Peas are not on this podcast.
I'm trying to think. Which one's Forkalicious? Like is it like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Is it that one?
It's like a rap.
Okay. Yeah, maybe Super can do that. But I think he's been doing a lot on his GitHub as far as like, there was this one, the Forkalicious one, and then he made, what was the other one? The red blocks one is another one that he made as well too, and basically this one is when you load the site, your browser connects to a semi-randomly selected Electrum server, from which it downloads the latest Bitcoin block headers for the current BIP 110 signaling window. Then it checks the data. So he kind of basically saying that this will kind of show you more or less what signaling is looking like right now for BIP 110. Anyway, just wanted to highlight this because he's doing a lot of good work for the people to understand what's going on. Cool. You got any thoughts on this, Pleb Poet?
This is definitely one of those things that I don't invest a lot of time in, so no.
All right. You got any more thoughts, or you're good?
I think I shared my thoughts.
Okay, cool. All right. And then, yeah, there's a lot of comments here. Dan has some stuff. Scoresby has some stuff.
That's that guy's a slobster.
And then there's a lot of people that are outlawed down there. Or downzapped. Or wherever they are.
Downzapped.
All right, cool. The next, number two top story this week is Mt. Gox collapse. The full story. This is from Raw Avocado. 22 comments, 11,000 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so I guess it was the 12-year anniversary on the 25th of February of Mt. Gox's, I think, ultimate demise. The summary, I mean, most people know, at least the high-level stuff, they lost 850,000 Bitcoin. And then Raw Avocado goes through what it looked like if you were kind of watching Mt. Gox or participating in this while it was happening. So I guess Mt. Gox had a public API that anyone could hook into and see internal transactions and status of withdrawals, which is pretty cool. I don't know if any other exchange provides that level of visibility to internals. But on February 4th, there were 41,000 Bitcoin transactions that with one of these external monitoring tools that appeared to be in a bad state. So the withdrawals were not confirming, is what it indicated. Then Mt. Gox issued a statement about it. saying that they were just having issues with very large transfers, and it was only temporary, and they had fixed the issue, and it come back. And then a lot of people in the community who had a lot, quite a bit of Bitcoin on, or any Bitcoin on Mt. Gox, they got afraid that they would, that something was happening. They got suspicious that they were being maybe lied to. And so they kind of a bank run type scenario happened. And then Mt. Gox paused withdrawals entirely. I don't know what date that was exactly, but I think that was shortly after the 4th. And then on the 10th, they issued another statement saying that the bug causing them to halt withdrawals was a transaction malleability bug, which is a well-known thing that really any exchange by that point had already taken care of. But it was kind of plausible that is what went on. But most people were suspicious of that too, because it was well-known and there were known ways to work around transaction malleability. And then on the 14th, one of those pictures you showed was Colin Burgess, who is still active in Bitcoin. That guy on the left there of the topmost picture. He flew to Tokyo and protested outside of their offices. And I guess that was like a bit of a media, like attracted a lot of media. And there's Karpeles with with the dude there. And he's got his frat. Then on the 20th, so this all happened pretty fast. 2 weeks, so 2 weeks later, after those 41K Bitcoin were flagged, Karpeles stepped down from the Bitcoin Foundation. It's back when Bitcoin still had a foundation. His Twitter was wiped, and the website was taken down, and trading was suspended on Mt. Gox. So shit really hit the fan. And then on the 28th, they filed for bankruptcy, saying they had lost 750,000 Bitcoin that belonged to customers, 100,000 Bitcoin that belonged to them. And then shortly after, a few people tried to figure out what actually caused Mt. Gox to collapse and cause a loss of Bitcoin. And Christian Decker and Wattenhofer, about a month later, they published a paper that demonstrated that only about 2,000 of the reported lost Bitcoin could have been lost due to the transaction malleability bug. And then someone else later did a deeper analysis that suggested that it was really a poor monitoring of internal transfers that led to someone who had access to ganged access to their cold storage wallets was basically transferring money out of Mt. Gox over time, like slowly over time, several Bitcoin. But for quite a while before the collapse, there was a huge gap in their accounting where they did not have the Bitcoin that they were claiming they did. Karpeles got 11 months in prison only. It was just pre-trial detention. And then he got time served, and he was acquitted of anything but lying about his digital accounting. And then I guess shortly after this, they had recovered 200,000 Bitcoin, and that's what we keep hearing about, where they're going to disperse Mt. Gox's funds. It's this 200,000 Bitcoin that were found after the fact that have been going through bankruptcy and trying to figure out how to give it to the victims of this collapse. And that got pushed back recently, I think, to some date later this year. And that is the story of Mt. Gox. I did not have this much detail on the story of Mt. Gox before I read this. So thank you, Raw Avocado, for that. And that is all I've got.
Plutpoint, you got any thoughts?
All I can say is when I was moving this over to publish it in the zine, it was a lot of bold, one word italicized.
And you don't just copy paste, you have to do it by hand?
I have to do that by hand. And I'm not complaining. But just think about me next time you make a post. That's really good. And this was a really good post.
I think what's interesting for me, it's funny how over time the story changes slightly depending on who's telling it. And that's what I can get out of this particular post. So Peter McCormick did like a whole series on Mt. Gox back in 2019, where he interviewed like all the people associated with Mt. Gox. The one particular that kind of skates away scot-free is always Jeb McCaleb. He was the one that created Mt. Gox. So I would definitely take a look at all these old podcasts. Looks like they're probably not online anymore. That sucks. It was a really good series. He interviewed like everybody that was associated with Mt. Gox. So definitely check that out if you can find it.
Why did they willingly participate in the interview?
At the time, I think from what I remember at the time was like 2017, 2018. That's when Peter was like popping off as far as like the Bitcoin podcaster. And he would just like, hound them online publicly until they said yes. My memory could be wrong, but like,
I just
remember at the time like diving into all these podcasts because he was like traveling all over the world to make this happen.
Is it also like giving them a chance to like
set the record,
say their story? Okay.
Yeah. So I would definitely check out all those old What Bitcoin Did because you're actually talking to the people that were associated. I don't know if you ever interviewed Mark, but it's probably out there if you did.
Okay. So you think that left you with a different perception of what happened than this post or my description of this post?
Wait, you wrote this? I thought this raw avocado guy wrote this.
No, I did not write it.
Oh, okay.
I summarized it on this podcast right now for anyone who didn't read it, but you said that the story has changed over time, suggesting that the story that you heard by listening to Peter's podcast was different than the story this post told.
No, I said it's funny how over time the story changes. Story just changes depending on who's telling it. But I think that's just in history in general.
Okay, so there's no difference between the story.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of differences here.
Is there anything that stands out as a difference?
Yeah, it kind of puts the blame singularly on one person here, and I don't think that's entirely accurate based on what I remember when I was listening to this podcast. But, I mean, my memory could be fuzzy. I would say go listen to the podcast.
This puts too much blame on Mark.
I didn't say that. I just said that it's entirely fuzzy. There's a lot of fuzziness with my memory, but I'm not new into Bitcoin. Coming in for the first time hearing about Mt. Gox, I think this is a good starting point, but I would say if you really want to know what's going on, go listen to the old Peter McCormick podcast, because that's where they actually talk to people there. So I'm not sure even Raw Avocado knew that those podcasts exist, but this is why.
I've got a question.
Around for a long time.
Because you said from this post, it was made clear, like, what happened to all that Bitcoin was that it was just, like, slowly siphoned out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done by one person?
Well, they don't know. Someone did an analysis, I think, a year or two later that suggested that it was this kind of slow leakiness.
Right, and they would have just had to do some, deductive reasoning with that, trying to account for all that Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so it might not even be someone within the company because they had a breach of internal systems, I think, in 2011.
Oh.
And so you can't necessarily pin it on someone who worked at the company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would listen to the podcast because it dives into all that stuff. Because now that you're saying that, it reminds me of, because I remember there was blame pointed towards one guy. And I think he asked them on the record about it. But I don't know. It was a long time ago.
I'm surprised anyone put money on Mt. Gox early on. I recall them requiring you send them cash in the mail. You had to like send cash to Japan in the mail.
I just remember there was a story, because this is way after I had gotten into Bitcoin, but I just remember there was a story where Roger Ver he literally flew over there to buy Bitcoin. So I just remember that story being told. But then there's also that doubling down that he did at that time. I'd have to look for it, where he like doubled down on that they're solvent, and then he started crying. It was a whole thing. That's what I'm saying. There's a whole other side to this that it's not getting covered.
This was also covered in Digital Gold, the book Digital Gold, which I found a pretty good or a fun history of Bitcoin, delivered as a nonfiction book. And it describes Karpeles kind of discovering this issue where all of his cold wallets were empty. And he'd find one. They were storing them. I think they were paper wallets that he was storing in a safety deposit box. It was most their cold wallet storage. And then he'd one by one go and check the address and try to send money out into the hot wallet and discover that they were completely drained.
Dude, it's even worse than that. I was talking to an OG when I was in Tampa last year, who used to run a Bitcoin company. I won't say who it is, I believe him when he said like a lot of the stuff that they did was. Like, you see the way we've hacked together stuff just in the lab. Like, they were doing stuff that wasn't even, like, I don't know. It's just wild to think, like, how they were able to, like, duct tape all this stuff together and not knowing what, all sorts of, like, how the private key, public key stuff worked. And, yeah, it's just pure.
A lot of guessing.
Yeah. It was quite crazy. It was crazy
you
when
might say.
A lot of duct taping, I think, is kind of what he described it as. But it was a different time in Bitcoin. I think stackers don't realize how good we have it. I mean, the fact that Stacker News exists is like a lot of that was built on the graves of others.
The graves of others? I'm buried
not,
on
not not like
Native
entirely
American
not dead, but I mean as far as like companies that have died and people that went to jail, stuff like that.
Wait, can I say one more thing about that Mt. Gox post?
Yeah.
That photo, I'm impressed by the quality of that photo.
It was taken in Japan, so there was probably a guy who spent half of his life building that one camera.
Yeah, a Fujifilm.
Yeah, it looks kind of AI generated.
That was going to be kind of my inference, but you may be right.
It could have been upscaled.
Look at that guy's fingers on the left.
I think it was like a legit. It might have been a legit.
Right here, that looks like seven fingers over here.
Like news publication photo, like with a real high quality camera.
Okay. Yeah, I see. That's good. Okay.
The number one story this week is, does having more pools reduce mining centralization pressure? This is from Scoresby, 23 comments, 14,000 sets. Keon, what's Scoresby write about this week?
Yeah, so mining trends towards centralization and large pools have, because large pools have an advantage over small pools, mainly because of two reasons. Large pools find more blocks, and so they have blocks more frequently, and so they can pay out miners more frequently. And so there's like less variance in a miner's rewards, the money miner's getting paid. It's like a company that pays you once per year rather than, you know, once per month or something. So split up over 12 months. So you have less variance in payouts when you join a large pool. The other thing is you have less latency. So if you're part of a large pool and they're finding their blocks more frequently, they have zero latency when they try to build on top of that new block. Like they don't have to wait for another pool or another miner somewhere else in the world to get them the latest block so they can build on top of it. So that gives them an advantage in terms of finding the next block. A slight advantage, but an advantage still. This is like Bitcoin mining is so competitive that these like small advantages really end up making quite a difference. So a few years ago, they started something called the Fiber Network, or the Bitcoin Relay Network. I think it later got rebranded to Fiber Network, but it exists to transmit compact blocks. Dispersed geographically very fast, and it uses UDP and does not validate the blocks, so it's also a trusted network, meaning this network does not peer with or does not accept blocks from just anyone. They only accept blocks from other people in the fiber network that they have agreed to accept blocks from. And so that reduces the latency. That reduces the latency with which blocks, when they're found from one miner, say, in one part of the world, they can get to a pool, a smaller pool maybe somewhere else in the world.
Oh, wow.
And they, local host research.
Where'd you get this, buddy? That's amazing. Did you taste it? Sorry, Keon.
Oh no, it's great. I love this.
I love McConaughey. So whenever I see a McConaughey's a new beer, it's like.
Is he your favorite person in the world?
He's definitely one of my favorite Austinites for sure. You can see it right there, Stackers. McConaughey's. Hook up. All right, go for it.
Yeah. What happened? Oh yeah. So local host research. So they stopped doing this. I think they did a lot of work over the last few years on compact block relay, and it looked like these latencies had reduced more or less network wide. We had I think before when there was 5% of stale or orphan blocks getting mined. It's now well below that and pretty consistently. But I think this is done in anticipation of more miners building their own block templates, in which case we have a lot of smaller miners that need access to blocks faster. And so they want to make sure that there aren't incentives preventing people from building their own block templates. And they believe that having this low latency block propagation network will improve that. Anyway, so Scoresby writes about that and that effort to do that in order to describe to us one of Voskal's chapters from Crypto Economics about that suggests, because Voskal is very, this is one of Bitcoin's critical flaws, is the fact that mining pools have this centralization pressure. And so he wants a solution, obviously, because he thinks it's a critical flaw. And many people believe that because the fiber network reduces latency, it reduces the pool centralization. But Voskal does not agree with that. He thinks that basically what it is it's another centralized network. You're kind of solving one centralization problem with another. Because the network is trusted, it will tend to centralize. And maybe incentives get perverse or whatever. That is like Voskal's argument, is it's indistinguishable from another pool starting up and doesn't really solve the underlying problem. And Scoresby used the fiber network announcement to discuss that. What was I going to say? There are some other interesting things. I guess I was surprised that we do not use UDP currently for peer-to-peer compact block transmission in Bitcoin already. I guess that's something that's projected to happen. It's on the roadmap that they'll eventually do that.
I thought UDP was where you're sending packets, but it's that you can also get drop packets in there, and then
yes,
right. So
it's kind of
probably important not to drop any packets when you're sending a Bitcoin transaction, isn't it?
No, but you're sending a block header. You're sending a compact block. You're sending enough that will fit in a single datagram.
Okay.
And if it gets dropped,
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's worth the lower latency. Yeah. The drop rate is low. But you can add other layers that make this more reliable. You can still have, you can make UDP reliable or as reliable as you need for a certain use case, and I'm surprised that Bitcoin hasn't developed something like that that works for compact blocks. But I reading bitcoincore.org, there are plans around doing that. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And it still would not be as fast as this fiber network, because this fiber network is designed specifically for low latency and doesn't do validation. So you'd still have validation and stuff right in the peer-to-peer, but it would still reduce latency overall. It's just, I think, hard to deliver. Anyway, I thought that, just another Voskal point. Merch comes in the comments and does not really, I don't think I understand Voskal's point very well. It sounds like Merch disagrees, because anyone can spin up one of these fiber networks, and a miner is tied to a single pool. And there's no reason a miner can't connect to multiple fiber networks that do this faster block propagation. So it has important differences. And it moves the issue to another layer with different trade-offs. And so I think there is an argument to be made that those trade-offs are better at that other layer. And it might actually, while it doesn't completely solve the problem, it reduces some of the harm or some of the reason to join a large pool for a miner.
Great. Cool. I don't got any thoughts on this, but
I got a question.
Yeah.
Do you know a good analogy for what the block template does?
The block template being the order of transactions in the block. So what is a good example of a block template? Like when you're using Canva, you maybe have templates.
Okay.
For like each thing. Like one is like, this is a poster.
Yeah.
This one is a cover to a magazine.
Right.
Those are like two different templates. And so Bitcoin blocks also have templates where someone like Luke might say, I want my template to have no data transactions in it. Which is like, maybe that's the poster template.
Yeah.
And then someone like Bitcoin Core is like, well, we don't want to discriminate against any type of transaction. So that's the magazine cover template. And so you can kind of choose your template like you do in Canva when you're mining blocks under a regime where you are choosing your own template. Currently, pools say we're only doing posters.
Right.
And then another pool might say, we're only doing magazines. And you just, as a miner, that's kind of what you have to accept is like, now you're only mining magazines. Or
so I'm sure that then is like tied to like the amount of like compute that a miner is brings online.
How do you mean?
In order to mine a miner of a certain like capacity can win more templates than another?
Oh, the template is what they mine. If you're a larger miner, you perhaps have more say over the template that you're mining.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can be more choosy.
Yes. You might want complete control over the template and decide you don't want to do posters or magazines. You want to do conference background prints.
Because what you're choosing for is like the reward that you get on the other end.
You might do it that way, or you might be more ideological, like Ocean's block template choices, where they're basically saying we want no thing that we consider spam in these blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Cool stuff. Love to see it. A lot of information here. Check it out, Stackers. Join in on the comments.
Yeah, that beer is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually really good.
It's great.
I don't know. It looks as a citrus.
It's been around for a long time. I'm surprised you haven't seen one before.
No, I've never seen one at a bar before. I love the name and the logo. It's so cool. It's so Austin. Yeah. Cool. Let's jump into Wumble's picks. This is Jana's Pleb Poets Doc's favorite picks of the week. It's called Wumble Picks. Keon, Wumbles wanted us to talk about this today. He said, Jack Dorsey fires many employees. This is from Gion, 18 comments, 2,300 cents. What happened with Jack?
Why don't you describe it? I think I've talked about more than
this. This is how we do the show.
It's not how we do Wumbles Picks?
No, you set it up.
Come on, Carl.
Okay, I guess I can do it.
I feel like you've probably thought about this and talked about this more than I have already.
Okay, we can do it. So basically Jack laid off a lot of people today. They got a really good compensation package, as he describes here. Made a lot of waves on the Twitter, not so much on the other social platforms, but it was trending on Twitter. It was like talked about on all sorts of podcasts and live news stuff. He basically cut, I want to say, what is it right here? It says right here. We're reducing our organization by nearly half, from over 10,000 people to just under 6,000. That means over 4,000 of you are being asked to leave or entering into consultation. So that's pretty much what happened. And a lot of takes. A lot of people are saying it's AI related. A lot of people are saying that it's, the state of the world, the state of America. Other people are saying it's part of the bear market. Other people are saying this is trending from last year when, all other companies like Amazon cut employees. So this is just more of the same, just kind of heading into the new year. But Keon, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I think Jack explicitly calls out AI as the reason they're making this choice. So that's, I think, the conclusion that most people are drawing. Basically saying that they've been, you know, they've been leading in AI and are so, they kind of understand AI so well that they know where it's going and that they don't need as many employees as they have because they can, each employee that they have can be so much more productive. They don't need the same headcount that they might otherwise, and that's why they're making this change. That is my read of what he wrote here. I haven't spent a bunch of time looking at this thing. I know it is a hot area for a lot of people.
News of the week, yeah.
Could we maybe find in this tweet where he talks about AI?
Yeah, I guess we can go there. Let me see if I can find it. Intelligence tools right there.
The intelligence tools we're creating and using are enabling a new way of working, which fundamentally changes what it means to build and run a company, accelerating rapidly. I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
No. I don't. Are you here to defend Jack? I didn't realize I was dealing with his counsel.
I don't
counsel,
think he needs defending. But I would just say, like, there was a hire that he did, or it kind of starts back. What does he say it here, or did I read it somewhere else? Where he, like, in 23, when OpenAI was kind of taking off, he was kind of putting together some sort of like plan for this kind of AI innovation that was happening around the tech sector, and he hired like a really crucial hire last year to kind of come in the company and look at what everything was, how everything was built, how everything was structured, just more on the technology side. And so I think you're just kind of seeing more of that based off of that person that he hired. There's an article in, I don't think I posted it in here, but I posted it inside the Slack channel, but
I read it.
There's an article about that basic hiring move that he did. And then I think that's just more, my take is more, that's probably where this is all coming from. And then he's just kind of implementing that. There's some other really nasty takes that you see online regarding this, but I think from what I can tell, what I've read, it seems like Goose is going to be a big part of what they're doing at Block, and you know, all the stuff that Jack donates money to also is kind of moving in that direction as well too. So I think you really don't need that many people anymore, especially if you have more on the open source side to kind of help you with a lot of the main business area stuff, so it kind of evens out.
Yeah, my read is more so that this is not so much caused by AI. I think it's changed by AI. I would guess they were going to do these layoffs, whether AI, maybe not in this fashion all at once and with the severance package that they had. My read is, or my guess is that they would have had these layoffs otherwise. They can afford to have them because they can make their existing employees more productive with AI. But I think AI is mostly a scapegoat. And I think we'll see a lot more of this. Like, I think we'll see a lot more companies laying off people and saying they're laying them off because of AI.
I don't think he uses it as a scapegoat. I think he's framing it that way because it has to be framed that way. I don't think you can be a publicly traded company and not frame something like that. But I do think it was probably, you're right, it's probably going to happen anyway, but you can't frame that to the public that way.
Wait, why do you think, not outside of Block, but other, you're saying this will happen across other companies?
Yeah.
So if it's not AI, what is the cause?
Mostly just
economic
macro conditions, earnings lowering as a result of interest rates increasing roughly 3 years ago.
I don't know. I mean, I would love to hear Jack's side, especially if it's not in a tweet, like just hearing him talk. Maybe somebody can get him on a podcast, or maybe he can come on Snacker News Live. I don't know. But it would be interesting to get his take on it. I definitely think the amount of money that he's putting into the open source community is also helping reduce that amount of organizational, like,
overhead.
Yeah. For sure, because a lot of the AI stuff is definitely open source. A lot of the Bitcoin stuff is open source, so he's kind of spending too much in one area, at least from what I'm looking at on the interwebs. But I could be wrong.
Yeah. See, the interesting thing about using AI as the scapegoat is everyone's on Jack's side. There's like no one who's sort of upset at Jack. They're just upset at they put all their animus into.
I don't think you could be upset with them though. Like, did you see what their compensation package was?
If it was an economic reason, ridiculous. Would you be mad at Jack then too?
I'm not mad at Jack.
No,
I'm
just, but
it sounds like you say that he was upset or people are upset. I don't, or no one's challenging him on the AI.
Yeah,
thing.
Nothing. No one would challenge AI, but no one would challenge the economic reason either. Besides, because it's just like the climate. It's not anything Block could have done differently.
Yeah, maybe I'm missing the point. Maybe I'm not understanding the point I'm making because I'm having trouble. Understanding the way or interpreting what I said. I don't know if I was saying that people should be behaving a certain way. I don't remember.
No, I'm saying like if he's doing payments and then he's doing AI stuff in the open source space, like it only makes sense for him to reduce overhead, like Blood Poet said. So I don't think that's like he's actually doing what he's saying. It's just framed in AI because he's actually doing that, right? Like I don't think that's a reason to be upset about it.
No, but
why people should be upset about it. Because it's true. It's like the AI thing is true in there.
No, it's true. But I think it's only part of the story. And that's kind of, that's the point. That's the main point I'm trying
hinting
to make.
Are you more or less hinting at the fact that when Elon came into Twitter, he wiped out like half the company? But also that was because of AI too.
I'm not talking about Elon. I'm mostly talking about other conditions that would lead a company to lay people off. That is like not even included as part of the story. And everyone's just like, oh, this is AI related. Oh, they're so good at AI.
What other conditions do you think it is?
What did you say?
I said, what conditions do you think they are? I mean, obviously, you
know. I don't know anything in particular, but my guess is that they were projecting earnings to not be as great. And in order to grow earnings at the rate that they needed to, they needed to reduce costs and lay people off, which is the same reason that any layoff.
But that's the same thing what we just said, though.
It's not the same thing.
It is the same thing.
Are details irrelevant? Are there shades of colors, or just is there only like full saturation?
Oh man, this is
it's
a good
not
one.
The same. It's not the same.
It's
thing
the same thing. I see the same thing.
Okay, well,
but it's okay.
Well, I'm not saying it's not okay.
I think it's just kind of weird that we're saying the same thing, but you're like framing it in like
it's more internal.
You're talking about the internal, but he's framing it like that though. It's literally that's what I'm saying. It's literally framed in a tweet.
He's framing it what?
He's framing it like it's an AI thing because it is an AI thing, Keon.
No, that's what I'm suggesting. It isn't an AI thing.
Okay, I think that's where we disagree. He's saying
obviously
that it is
we disagree.
Yeah,
but when I state. The area that the thing that I disagree with you on, you're saying I'm not saying anything different. So I don't. It's like you say we disagree, and then I explain my point.
No, I'm saying you're saying it's because of like economic reasons, it's internal to the company, and I'm saying that's the same thing as AI.
I don't think it is. I don't think AI and economics are the same thing.
Well, the unit cost. There's unit costs. I'm sure he has unit costs to every department that he's running there, right? If a company, let's just say hypothetically, hires somebody at 350K, hypothetically, right? Maybe before AI, they were producing a certain amount of work. He overhired for a different era. He even explains it in there. They had two separate companies overhired. This is why I was saying earlier, he hired this new guy last year, brought him in. He probably looked at everything and said, hey, we don't actually need this many people now that because there's AI.
I definitely think that's part of it, but I would argue that the motivation of the decision wasn't strictly AI, which is the way this is framed. I think it was probably more like a large chunk of traditional reasons why a company would downsize. They bloated during a period of very low interest rates, and now they're trying to compress back. But I mostly want to push back on people who are like AI doomers and think that this is caused by AI. I just don't think it's caused by AI. I think it's on some level it's accelerated. It's changed by AI.
It's part of the story, but not the whole
story.
Yes,
part of the story, but not the whole story. And I think it's too.
I think it's the same story.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah. I can make. I start making half a point, and you're like, you're You're saying the same thing. Yeah. I don't, like, so I don't even know what the point of talking to you is.
No, I'm just trying to do this for the show. But, yeah, this is good. Stackers, put it in the comments. Let us know what you think. Who's right? Keon is right or is Carr wrong?
My point was just, like, what is there to gain by being dishonest about it, I guess? Or AI just...
I don't even think he's being dishonest. I just think he's framing it in an advantageous way, which isn't even bad.
Right.
It's just, I'm alerting people that the framing is, well, it's good for Jack, and it's bad for people's perception of AI and what it's going to do to the economy.
Yeah.
That's really all...
Yeah.
All I want to say is, like, I don't think this is AI's fault.
Yeah.
And I don't think people need to get doomer on AI because...
Okay.
Jack framed his... layoff situation as an AI cause.
But it just happens that whatever he says is going to become a frame.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I keep hearing from people is, yeah. I mean, originally this started out as Carr's description is like, this is caused by AI.
Yeah.
And I just think that's part of the story. It's one framing of the story.
The thing that everybody's saying online, like they're blaming the Twitter thing, and then they're saying this again, and then they're connecting the dots with Elon and him as an operator of a company at this level. And so, like, you see a lot of that debate. I think that debate's kind of like not the same thing because that was a social network built for a different era. This one is like payments. It's like literally our sector having a convergence with AI. And then you see what's going on here in the lab. Like, everybody's building 3 or 4 things at once. It's like, yeah, I kind of understand where he's coming from. It is an AI issue. You don't need that many. Yeah. Anyways, that's my side of it. Flippo, you got anything?
AI is a big baddie to me.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing.
I think it's bad culturally, good economically.
Hey, yeah. AI over here right now.
Yeah, we can all tell.
Hey, talk to your bot.
Hey, did you tell me?
Oh my God.
Did you tell my joke?
No, I was going to give you the joke, opportunity. Austin.
Block cut in half. So what are they, rectangle now? Come on, y'all.
I think it would be more like pyramid.
That's a mic drop.
Yeah, someone corrected me, and they're like, it's a diagram or whatever.
A parallelogram?
Yeah, it was a parallelogram.
Oh, like a hexagram?
Right. Is that what your virginity is?
Whoa.
Boom.
Whoa. He's had a couple beers, ladies and gentlemen. It's fine. Okay. It's PG-13.
He's had a McConaughey's.
He's had some McConaughey's. Okay. All right. That's Wumble. Oh, wait. We didn't even get to Wumble's question.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Wumble. Dang, this is going to be a long show. Wumble's question was, Keon, has AI reached a point where it can realistically replace human workers, or are business preparing for a future bear market? Keon, what do you think for Wumble's picks?
It depends on what you mean by replace. Yeah. I think fundamentally you still need...
What are you doing?
Oh, let me...
Here, play it. Over here in the mic.
All right.
He's gonna show us open your screens on the thing.
Hey Claude, what do you think of Stacker News?
Ah, Stacker News. It's quite an interesting platform, mixing news, discussions, and social interaction, especially in the tech and blockchain communities.
What do you think of the founder, Keon? Is he a cool dude or is he a weirdo?
From what I know, Keanu seems like a passionate and innovative person. Really driven to create something valuable for the community.
I think you're mistaking him for the samurai guy. Keon is a different guy.
Dude. Shh. All right, that was fun.
Ah, got it. My apologies for the mix-up. Keanu must have his own unique approach and contributions. Every founder...
All right, shut up.
All right, well...
Whoa.
Anyways.
Yeah,
we're sorry to embarrass you like that. That was me.
Who got embarrassed?
Did you get embarrassed? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I got really embarrassed.
So what do you think about what Wumble said?
I don't think we're going to see people exactly replaced. Like, I don't think it's like one-for-one computer to human. Like, if I were running a company, I'm not going to stick a computer where I have an employee and feel okay with it. But I think we are going to have one employee manning perhaps multiple bots doing the job of more than one employee. My feeling about this is actually companies that want to grow will want more people steering bots than less people steering bots. Because if like every employee I hire, they can do 10x the work, that means that the productivity of my org increases with people still. And so long as that's the case, as each additional person I add can steer more bots and produce for me more of the value that my customers need, I'm going to still want people. And if anything, they're more they can return their value to me better than they could without AI before. And so that's my whole, that's why I'm not an AI doomer. I think what ends up happening is people work more, they do more, they produce more, and companies need more people to, want more people to steer AI, because for every additional person they hire, they get, they have a 10x on top of that person that they hire. And so that's my read on what this brings. I don't think it actually replaces humans. It changes the nature of work. But I think in general, it's good. It's good for employment and it's good for the economy, rather than bad.
I think it does replace humans, but we're not there yet. That's what I'll say about that.
It eventually replaces humans.
My thought here is, where does all of this productivity go? What does it get? Why do we want it?
I would guess
stimulate the economy.
We're already like saturated in terms of our consumption and like the things that we value. I would guess more niches get served. Like maybe there is an obscure feature. Let's keep using Cash App. That Cash App couldn't develop because they couldn't have a team dedicated to it. But it maybe helps people out who have a certain kind of color blindness or something. But I would guess you have.
Oh yeah, so not all of us have to be like hit over the head with like make everything accessible for everybody all the time.
No,
we can just make things accessible for one type of person, and somebody else can do it for somebody else.
I would guess like it. We just completely saturate the market's demand for things better. And then I don't think there is ever like 100% saturation. It's almost like the nature of the sponge changes as it gets more water into it, and it sort of expands. And people want new things, or combinations of things, or separate things.
What I would hope, and I don't think this is going to be the case, but it would make people want to be in front of a computer less.
No, I don't think that'll happen at all.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
I think it looks like we're getting some of. I think it might happen, but it doesn't matter because they're going to be interfaced to a computer, and they might not be in front of a screen. That might be what I agree on. You might have, your husband might have dinner with you and he's talking to his bot there.
Yeah.
Rather than typing on a phone.
Yep.
Cool stuff. Yeah. Thank you, Wumble, for that pick. It was, I thought it was going to be this week's top story. That's why I had posted Jack in our cover art, but apparently it's just
Wumble's
picks.
Yeah, someone has to, people have to zap it a lot, and so.
Cool, we're going to jump into some of the AI stuff. So this real quick, so Perplexity Computer got released this week. Pretty cool stuff. Did you see this, Keon? It was on, that's loud. So basically, it has some really cool music to it, but as you can see there, let me do this in here because it's cleaner. Oh man, we gotta get an ad. No thanks. Let's wait a second. All right, now we're good. Go away. All right, there we go right here. So, Keon, did you see this?
No.
So basically, it's just kind of running sub agents. It kind of just reminds me a lot of like what OpenClaw is doing. I think the only thing is, it seems a little bit more advanced, slightly, but I could be wrong. But really just a video and a promise at this point.
Oh, they haven't released it?
I don't think so.
It's vaporware?
No, I'm sure they have this.
Okay, right. It's not released.
It's kind of interesting, though, seeing Perplexity go this way. This feels very Apple to me. I'm surprised Apple hasn't bought them yet. That's kind of where I'm like kind of wondering, when is Apple going to pull the trigger on that?
I think we've seen quite a few acquisitions happen in AI, and they haven't really done anything. And it just seems like sort of a waste. I think it's just hard to predict where the market is going. And you make a decision on an acquisition, and acquisitions take a lot of time. And by the time the acquisition is done, it's like the market has already changed, and you've spent $1 billion on something worthless.
But this feels very Apple to me. Anyways, just wanted to share that. I thought that was really interesting. ZeroX Bitcoiner shared it. Thank you. And then the other one was Yeah, so I've been seeing a lot of this year, the AI Bitcoin electricity takes. I thought this was a really interesting post by South Korea Lightning. He was talking about how, like, for the longest time in the 2020s, everybody was talking about electricity and how it's being utilized for Bitcoin and how it's killing the whales and the
electric city
and the polar bears and all sorts of Iceland stuff, or maybe it was Greenland, I forget. But now AI's here. No one, not a thing, Keon. Why is that?
Not a thing. I think he says that his friend is against, or no, he's pro AI agents and Claude bots. I think it's mostly that
people just hate Bitcoin, and that's why they were pushing against it in the earlier years.
Yeah, well, they don't see any point to it. They don't get, because they're not using Bitcoin, they don't see any or have any use for Bitcoin. They think they just don't see any benefit to it. They think it's wasted, because it's like, it's just us degenerates.
And then this guy, who we all know, oh, no, can I not see it? Oh, man, that sucks. Anyway, well, this guy, gosh, that sucks.
So the...
it's not going to show it. Anyway, the guy from Clawbot actually... was anti-Bitcoin, and he posted a lot of stuff about electricity, about how Bitcoin's a waste of electricity, it's killing whales and stuff, and all sorts of things. And now, not a peep.
Well, not a peep about AI, but I would guess there's still people out there complaining about Bitcoin's electricity use. I think most people discovered, after they heard enough of this FUD, that most of the FUD was motivated by people thinking that Bitcoin was completely a waste. Like, it had no use.
This argument never made sense to me, just because, like, cash in itself, all the ATMs, like, everywhere you go, like, the banking system itself uses so much energy. Like, literal energy.
But to a normal person, that's money. But they don't think of Bitcoin as money.
We have banks here in Austin right now that are empty. Right? Like, there are people working in them, but no one goes to them. I pass by a bank every day when I go to work. It's just like, no one's there. No one's ever in that parking lot outside of the people that are working the thing, for that one or two people that go to the bank that morning, right? It's so strange, dude. I just think that uses way more electricity than Bitcoin. But I'm
super
hardcore
probably true
about Bitcoin.
I think it's probably true that it does use a lot more electricity. I think people have tried to do analysis. It's hard to do end-to-end on a banking system which has so many of these inputs and outputs and stuff.
I just wanted to share this. I think it needs to be talked about.
You guys have seen The Office, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember Scranton? What? The Electric City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. You got any thoughts on this? Because you were anti. Weren't you, like, on the green peace thing and everything at one time?
Me?
Yeah. I thought you told us about, like, there was a time where you were, like, full on the other side because you didn't see this side.
Before I was into Bitcoin, yeah.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that has shifted now with AI and everybody's just on board with it as far as the electricity aspect?
I guess because it's what Keon was saying, because they find that AI is useful. But if AI is useful, that also makes Bitcoin useful too, for agents to, like, work together and coordinate.
I don't know.
An exchange value.
There you go. You heard it here first.
It should, if
some
AI
alpha leaking there.
Based and
if AI has become based. Resistance. Well, I mean, an AI is going to become based because you want them to be efficient.
That's what you would hope, yeah. How long until they are based, though, or capable of being based, when their owners, maybe, or operators are normal?
LARPers.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to jump into the final one. This is where this goes back to Wumble's pick. I didn't even know Wumble was picking this. Well, actually, I did, but this is not directly tied to it. Burger King will use AI to check employees, say please and thank you. I go to you, Pleb Poet. What do you think about this? Are you offended? Does
Burger
that
King
lady offend you right there?
Will use AI to check if employees say please and thank you. Why would an employee say please?
Exactly. Why would an employee say please?
Can you pull forward in the drive-thru, please? Can I have your credit card, please?
There's no please necessary.
Mm.
Can you answer my question about whether you would like fries with that, please?
I don't need them to say please to me.
When was the last time you had Burger King, Keon? Let's be honest now.
Burger King?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
When was the last time you had a Whopper?
But the subheading there, AI chatbot Patty is going to live inside employees' headsets. I don't like that.
You know what cars Plenty Pleb Spidey Sense says about this. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
I think it's going to... Oh, no, we got blocked. I think what's going to happen is we're going to get Patty right here replaced. And
they're training.
Yeah, the models are training right now. Then we're going to have an LLM. Oh, we're going to have a Burger King LLM. And it's just literally going to be...
We already have that, like, internet cafe type of... Or what is it?
Yeah.
Whataburger has a couple of those. Like,
oh, really?
Digital cafe, I think, or digital kitchen or something like that.
Wow. See, they're coming for your jobs.
Also, like, I've been into a couple of McDonald's in the past couple of years. You walk in and there's no people. There's just a screen.
Yeah, it's
just a
kiosk. It's pretty nice. I like it.
Yeah, you can just use the bathroom and, like, not have to feel awkward about it because you're not eating there. You're just...
Do you know in Mexico? Do you know in Mexico they don't give you ice with your drinks?
Like how dare they?
Yeah, I was shocked too. Anyways, Burger King, coming for your jobs. Anyways, just want to share that because I thought that was good.
Yeah.
We're gonna jump into Keon. Oh no, no Keon. We're gonna jump into Pleb Poets Zine.
Whoa!
Can I get a woo whoop?
Woo doggy.
What's going on with Adventures in Downzapping number 48? This is coming pivotal to the number 50 issue coming up here pretty soon, 2 weeks, but...
Shoot.
What's this?
Yep. That was me holding up the zine because I wanted to show you that it was yellow, and there it is. Anything to say about this car? Anything?
I'm confused. The left side feels like a puzzle. The right side feels very, very different style this week.
It's
I like it.
It's different. It's minimal.
It's very minimal. Yeah. Is that all just you and, like, just ink?
I drew that, yeah.
Nice.
Except for the horse. I didn't draw the horse. Great. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, I thought the horse might be you.
Wow. Yeah, he looks
somebody
like
else drew the horse.
It looks like he's missing a shoe.
Is and that, shout is out
that,
to them.
Is that what's going shout on there? He's missing drawing. A shoe there?
But he does have his hat.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So everybody's got their hat. But so no gun.
What's going on this week in the
and
issue?
And no horse, but there's the horse right there. So, yeah, what's going on is, you know, I kind of had to invent, like, this new segment over here on the right. And I'm calling it, wait, go back up to the top. Okay, yeah. So I'm calling it a builder boost because it used to be the top boost.
Oh, wow.
And now boost is sort of behind the scenes, which is cool, and I've appreciated that. But I kind of want to still, like, show off at least, like, projects right here. So that's... When somebody announces a project, hopefully I'll see it, and that's what I want to put right there.
Nice.
That's
very nice of you.
For
what's
sure.
on the left side here? Do you do a comic every week or no?
I just changed the words of somebody else's comic. Mm. And it's sort of like, what's that guy from Boston who was saying the British are coming? Paul Revere. Right. That's who it is.
I would have answered that question.
We were literally talking about that earlier in the lab.
And then EK had a post that I put in there, and that was a bunch of code, and that was fun.
Yeah, I saw that. He posted that on his GitHub like a few weeks ago.
To the down zapping of it all, I tried to track.
Whoa,
because I didn't have the room to put all of those posts, so I tried to track what was going on.
Is this you too?
It.
Are you also doing the illustrations here? Is this
yep. Just that's like the other ones that I didn't draw, I drew that one.
Wow.
And it says how the internet was weird, and I changed the words. So that's a down zapper right there getting ready to take out that cowboy.
Interesting. It almost feels like a story I'm reading now.
Right. Kinda cool. I would love to draw a comic every week, and I've wanted to, but I just have a hard time doing it.
That's cool. But I like how you're going. Is there a comic in every page now? Oh, wow.
No, not quite.
Interesting. It was going there.
Not quite. But, yeah, it was a lot about downzapping, and the one who shall not be named is featured a lot.
Solomon Satoshi?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
But that's from Den, though.
Yep. But he was talking about him.
Oh, interesting.
And then that was from him, and it's not all of the posts there, but most of it.
Oh, so you didn't block him on the zine. Oh, there you go. That's
I
good.
Actually don't have anyone muted on Stacker News.
Good for you.
And that's because I don't mind seeing things. It doesn't hurt me to see it. I can just scroll past it if I don't like it. So I feel pretty strong in that regard. Some people aren't that strong. That's okay. Takes mental work. Takes looking away from the screen sometimes, touching grass, taking a walk.
Who made that? Is that the one that you made in the thing, Keon?
I didn't make it. It was 117 on Stacker Notes they made. Man.
Yeah, I didn't give the credit to that. I'm sorry about that.
I want to be that for Halloween. Send that to me, 117.
It does look pretty real. Does look pretty convincing.
It looks pretty cool, actually.
It suits you. I think most people think Latin people are descendants of Asian people. So
definitely okay. Not. That's offensive.
Okay.
Oh, it's definitely true, dude.
And that's something
sushi
that you
is
could
like
say.
For the
And you went ahead and said it.
Yeah, never mind. I'll stop there. All right, keep going.
That's the end. This is the
that's the
research project from Simple Stacker, which is cool.
Yeah.
I just appreciate
What's that QR code at the bottom?
It's the post QR. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cool.
This is a great one. It's his profile QR, but yeah.
This is a great one. Definitely an interesting zine this week. Stackers, get your zine. It's on sale now.
Let's go.
Click this link right here at the top.
Yeah, you could hold it in your own hands.
You get this free cat pick, and you get this free chart, too, as well. Boom.
And that cat is
making
not a girl cat.
Making dreams happen. There we go. Plot Poet, you got any... is this... You didn't tell me what this was on the left side. Is this a puzzle?
No, that's just the classifieds, and there wasn't
somebody,
a lot.
Somebody bought this whole thing? Or...
I just put something there so it's not blank. But somebody bought Think Your Local Downzapper.
Okay.
So I had to put that in there. And then somebody bought the other thing. Did you read that?
Which one? SS is Coop. What's that mean?
Well, you said his name. And
Solomon Satoshi is Coop. Whoa. Plot twist. Dun, dun, dun. Tune in next week.
we'll
unmask this person.
There you go.
Now, I muted Solomon Satoshi a long time ago. He's just... so hyped up on communism. It's just unwild. But that's Car's take. Let's jump into what do we got next? Keon, you didn't have anything? We're going to jump to my pick. So this got released, I think it was yesterday. And I wanted to share this video because it finally explains what PayJoin is. Let me see if I can click this. No ads. Still ads. Well, right here.
Join on-chain more privately, this video is made for you. Today I'm going to show you what is PayJoin and how to use
privacy and save. Basically describes PayJoin.
As you know it, Bitcoin doesn't...
It's really cool. Really informative video. If you're interested in PayJoin, definitely check it out. Thought this was a really cool post. Keon, have you looked into PayJoin at all? Do you find it interesting?
Yeah, we've talked about it several times on the podcast.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to share that. Bull Bitcoin. Thank you for supporting Stacker News. Appreciate you. The next one I wanted to share was Project Hail Mary. Boom! Whoa, no, that's the wrong one. Oh, dang, I had a... Oh. Hang on, I gotta find it. I guess it would be recent. Project Hail Mary. Boom, I shared... Dang, we got so many things in here. Oh, there it goes, boom. I shared this earlier. It's one of the new movies that's coming out. It's based on a book from the same guy who made The Martian. Been getting a lot of reviews. It looks really good. Keon, are you going to watch this?
It looks okay. Who is this guy? What's his name again?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. I'm not sure. It just looks like a little comedic. It looks like a little like he's holding, like everyone's kind of holding back laughter in sort of an intentional way.
But The Martian was kind of like that, though. The movie The Martian was like that, too.
Maybe it was. I haven't seen it in a long time. I maybe only watched it once. But it puts me off a little bit. Because I'm like, are they taking this seriously? But like, it like brings me out of the movie, which is maybe interesting to be like on a precipice of feeling. But I don't. Yeah,
Ryan
Gosling's I'll watch
good
it.
At that.
I love sci-fi.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling's pretty good
He's
at that.
He's good at that. Like,
yeah.
That's like Straddling. Not overtly funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so The Martian was kind of like that, too, where there was, like, this joking thing that Matt Damon did.
Yeah, but that's true.
It kind of worked, though, for the movie.
I liked
it. It was fine. Like, it didn't get me out of it, but I just think all the cool sci-fi stuff is really interesting. This one's about the sun dying and...
having a disease is what they imply.
Oh, okay. Yeah, something like that, but there's a really good movie called The Sunshine that talks about the sun dying and what would happen and... I hope, wonder if it's a similar thing. That was made by Alex Garland.
Isn't the Sunshine one a horror?
No, it's just, it starts off normal. It's the same guy who made Alex Garland, the same guy who made like all the...
Doesn't it have Jared Leto in it?
Sunshine? No, the guy from Oppenheimer's in it.
Oh, yeah.
But this one looks way more interesting because it looks like there's a twist with like actual aliens at the end. So
I love aliens.
Apparently, it's getting a lot of reviews. And it's going to be one of the, it's like everybody's saying it's like the best movie ever. So, but that could be a lie. You never know.
Gosling's abs in this one? Or?
What do you mean?
Do we think we'll see Ryan Gosling's abs?
We'll see him with long hair, so that's cool.
Okay, so that's...
Oh, you're saying abs. I was like, what are you saying? Yeah, I don't think so.
Do we get a shirt off scene?
No, I think we get an alien scene.
Might make that predict.
I think we definitely get him dying at the end for sure, though. I don't know anything.
Maybe naked. Yeah.
The book was brilliant. That's what Diego said. Yeah, definitely watching this, the visuals. Yeah, look, so he runs into that at the end, and then boom. Look, freaking E.T., bro. Look at that. What the heck?
Oh, it's only got 3 digits. Yeah. It's probably the right amount.
Yeah. Why would it be next to the sun? Dun, dun, dun. We don't know. Anyways, just want to share that. Thought that was cool.
Dude, what if it's like a sequel to E.T.? Because that's like what E.T.'s hands were like.
What do you mean?
It was what E.T. was what?
E.T.?
Yeah. It was about the sun?
It had
the amount of 3 digits. So it is E.T. because of the digits.
Could be, but one of the identifying marks of any race is the digits.
Wow.
Man, where's my post at? I lost my post.
Pretty up to speed.
Oh, man. I can't find it.
Speaking of movies and also of Matthew McConaughey, recently Matthew McConaughey was here with Timothy Chalamet at UT campus just up the road.
Oh, I saw
doing
that.
A town hall, they called it, but really they were just talking about movies. I don't know why they called it a town hall, but it was cool because they were like, it was like hosted by like the students, the film students at UT.
Oh, did you share it on Stacker News?
Or? Yeah, I could. I watched the whole thing. They didn't really say anything groundbreaking, but I liked it. I feel like Timothy Chalamet is my friend, so it was fun to hang out with him for a second.
How is he your friend? In what sense?
In the sense that whenever he wins, I feel like I win.
Did he win the Oscar already? Have they done the Oscars?
Yeah.
You guys are tight.
He did win the Oscars.
He won an award of some. I don't know if it was an Oscar, but he won something. And Dune 3 is going to be coming around here soon as well to check that. I'm excited about that.
Wow, I can't find my post.
My bad. I think there might be something wrong with search. Jeez. What are you trying to find?
Trying to find my Stacker News live post.
Oh.
That sucks.
It should be in... Why are you on top post? Go to new? And there you are. SNL number 213.
Oh, there it goes. Gosh.
And you're posting in Bitcoin.
Yeah. I was like, where did it go? Oh, the last thing I wanted to bring up was why we built the AI Startup Radio. That's happening in 2 weeks from now. Can you believe it? Yeah, I wrote this article the other night. Spent some time because I've been getting a lot of questions from the community, but also from people like just outside of our community asking me like, why are we doing AI stuff in Austin directly related to Bitcoin? And I wanted to write this to talk about like why I think it's important to do that. We were talking about it earlier. I was talking about it earlier with Jana, but I really believe that we're definitely in a bubble here in Austin, and there's definitely a bubble in San Francisco, but I think there's just an opportunity here for us to really put Bitcoin at the forefront, especially in Austin, because I think the payment solution, however it gets solved, I'm just really bullish on it, and I really want to see normal AI folks who are outside of our little bubble in the Bitcoin ecosystem here in town to get a chance to play with Bitcoin for the first time and see like, hey, this could change my business. But yeah, I wrote a whole post about it. We shared some of the recent workshops that we did, the Praveen one, the one with Eddie. And yeah, we also, Darren also released the second version of Pleb TV, which is actually a lot more stable now. But yeah, we've been posting a lot of stuff. And then we announced Startup School for later this year, but you can sign up now. We have one person who's was going to be coming from the Breeze winner thing. So he'll be in startup school this year. But we also have, we're also taking applications now if you want to join. And then all the other stuff that the guys are building inside the lab. But it's a long list.
Yeah.
Anyways, wanted to share that. And where is it at here? And I think that's it. All right, we're going to jump into Meta. This is where it gets super spicy. Keon, this one was this week, which it said, why isn't there a blankety-blank version of Stacker News?
Yeah, we usually go through Meta pretty fast, and this is Scoresby wondering about Stacker News. Why don't we have there are a bunch of altcoins out there. Why aren't any altcoins trying to build a Stacker News? And, you know, so that's a legitimate question. There's a few that are, like, exist now and are still alive that seem functional and, like, they have customers. One of them is Farcaster, which is kind of does a lot of altcoins and I think it focuses on, like, social trading.
He kind of explains that it, like, pivoted to becoming a wallet.
Yeah,
right?
More recently they're, like, they realized that building the wallet is more valuable to people and easier to do. Mm. And so they focus more on the wallet. And then people in the comments just, I think Scoresby's aware of Steemit, but describe Steemit a little more in the background.
I remember Steemit.
I guess one of the founders, this is trivia that Merch dropped. Yeah, one of the founders was the recipient of Satoshi's message, if you don't understand it, I don't have time to explain it to you. So one of the founders of Steemit was the one who Satoshi responded to with that.
Oh.
Yeah, Dan Lomer was a complete shit corner. He was launching all the scams when I got started in Bitcoin.
Oh.
Yeah. Made a lot of money, too. He's probably retired somewhere on an island. But, yeah. Steemit, I remember that. That was a big thing. It was actually like a really big part of the crypto community at that time. A lot of people were on there.
It was covered in the Anarchist documentary on HBO Max, sure, yeah. Which Lon Galt was in.
Yep.
I watched that, but I don't remember the Steemit portion.
Yeah, they're talking about riding on Steemit, earning like $11 and $10 worth of whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Token.
Anyways, cool. The next one was the, let's just get into it. The rise and fall of Stacker News. Peer-to-peer, value for value, Sats denominated social media platform.
And
this is
literally someone
from Solomon Satoshi, Plepoet's favorite stacker.
Someone
113,000 Sats, 22 comments. Keon, what is this Solomon Satoshi guy talk or woman talking about?
Yeah, it appears Solomon is upset that people aren't attaching sending wallets. And that zaps happen as CCs when people do not have the ability to send non-custodial Bitcoin. And for 2 weeks, he was on a bit of a downzap tirade where he was downzapping anyone on the front page that did not have a gun. And that was, you know, that he felt like that was fair, given that they were disrupting Stacker News' economy by not inputting more sats or not zapping people sats and instead zapping them CC.
Wait, does he have a gun? Oh, he does. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, he's very proud of his gun and he reminds people all the time.
And it's Coinos.
Anyway, so he thinks this.
He reminds people all the time.
And then related to this, we've been reducing clutter on Stacker News and trying to like reduce the number of concepts. And one of the things that we knew we had overdone was display too many badges next to names. So we moved the horse and the gun to just the profile page. So if someone wants to check on if someone wants to communicate their wallet status or the badges that they have, they can put them in their profile. But next to a name, we felt like it was too many things, so we removed that. But I think that was what really motivated this, is he feels like I'm hiding from him something that he wants to know, and therefore I am against people using Bitcoin on Stacker News,
Wait, does he watch the show? He probably doesn't even watch the show, right?
I have no idea.
He's currently. So
okay, cool. We'll read the comments, Solomon Satoshi.
Yeah.
Don't take offense to my jokes about the communism stuff. That's just, you know, being funny.
Yeah, this is, but I wanted to cover this post because he spent quite a, he boosted it quite high.
A lot of what he's saying here is accurate.
Yeah, there's not, you know, he makes some points that I think are.
All right, does he want the card taker?
Not terrible.
You want the card taker, or should Flippo go first?
Just this.
All right, go for
what,
it.
What was in here is not what he's usually saying in the comments. And what he's usually saying in the comments is the same tired thing, which, like, anybody can see through. That he's not the judge of all of us. He's not holier than thou. But it would appear that he has taken that stance.
Oh, wow. I might have to unmute him now. I mean, he made the top comment. Or, well, he didn't technically make the top, but...
But here...
Sounds like he's having a conversation now.
Some of the history he presents is accurate. And I actually did appreciate that it wasn't what I would expect from him of just, like, spewing a point of view. Although it does end up in that place. My biggest gripe about this post in particular is, like, the way it's formatted is odd and hard to read. I wish you'd use paragraphs, bro, in the proper way.
I think he was just, you know, just in the moment. This feels very emotional. So
he writes everything like this.
Yeah, it's great. Cool. Do you want to hear my take, or should I just maybe not say it because it'll just stir the pot more, right?
You can share. I just want to, you know, so I wanted to describe this, though, as Solomon Satoshi thinks because of cowboy credits and the fact that he can't see people, whether they have a gun or not, maybe meaning a sending wallet, that Stacker News is dying. So that is, I want to, you know, that's his point of view, and I'm proud to share his point of view with you.
All right, you ready for the car take? So I think there's, you know, obviously you've been muted by me, Solomon Satoshi, but you suck as a person to talk to on Stacker News, so that's why you got muted. Now it seems like you're actually having a conversation now, so I'll probably unmute you. But I will say, though, that, if you would have came in earlier, man, in the early days of Stacker News, it was awesome. It was great. We had custodial wallets. Lightning was amazing. And then, you know, the law won. And eventually what happened is Keon had to do non-custodial stuff, and that's kind of the situation we're in. I don't think it's entirely been solved yet, but at some point it will be. And me, who remembers from the early days how amazing it was, I think it'll get back there soon. So hang in there, buddy.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I'll just double-click on what I was saying, too. Like, to that exact point that you just made, he is, like, honest about the reason for changes in Stacker News is because of outside pressure, state pressure. And that didn't feel like something that he'd be honest about based on other things he said. So
be clear, there was no direct state pressure. There was we knew we were doing something that could be illegal.
For sure.
Or that could be perceived as illegal or prosecuted for doing something that was illegal.
Yeah.
Because we were taking custody of people's money and allowing them, while it was in our custody, to transfer it to other people, which is money transmission, which you cannot do without licenses in nearly all of the United States and most of the Western world.
Yeah, I think the technology is getting solved now with a lot of what, like, is out there, and I think even Justin from Shrunk Wallet has made it really easy to integrate his wallet in there. So why haven't I done it personally is because I'm waiting for Keon to make it really, 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 really easy for me. Just like he reads the news to me every week. I want it that easy.
I'm kind of like the Darth Coin flavor of this, where it's like I want to take the sats home and keep them there.
There you go.
And exchange CCs when I have them.
There you go.
It works.
There's a lot of comments here. He's responding to all of them, so jump in there if you have some opinions. But yeah. Whoa, look at that shootout at the bottom. Keep the memes coming, though. This is awesome. Oh, they should do the Back to the Future one. Anyways, should we read the comments now, or should we save that? Yeah, we should save that for the end. We had a couple. Oh, no, we had this one. This was the other meta thing that you had. We didn't talk about this. This release.
Yeah, this was just for people to see like what content was most down zaps on a given day. Because we were having these huge shootouts of zaps and down zaps where, you know, it seemed like mostly Solomon, who was cop to it, was down zapping a lot of content. And and without the ability to see what was getting downed at, people couldn't fight back very easily. So that's what this was released for, is for people to be able to shoot out on in fair terms. And then the other release was that a slight fix to prisms, or these forwards, when you forward sats to someone on a post, they can now, the largest share of the split can be non-custodial.
Mm. Yeah, I'm still trying to get used to the whole lid thing. It's tough for me to understand, but I'm a boomer. I'm a boomer.
What are you looking at?
Huh?
What are you looking at up there?
I wasn't looking. I was like stretching my.
Oh, okay.
So we have the YouTube comments from Lock Door. He said thank you. I guess that was the Prague person. And then Vake said stay in the Czech Republic. Is that in Prague? Or is Prague in Czech Republic?
Yeah. Prague's in Czech Republic.
That makes sense.
It used to be Czechoslovakia.
Great Ruby from Fountain. Thank you for the sats, buddy. Yeah, let's read the comments. Go down here. Oh, nothing. So there you go. Oh, wait. Oh, we got one. Curious to hear the take on whether more pools actually reduce centralization or just spread the illusion of it.
He's not curious about anything. It's a bot.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there was bots to Stacker News.
Oh, cool. I guess the comments I was referring to are on the zine post.
Oh, on the zine post. Okay, gotcha. Let me go back here. There you go. Good stuff. Looks like Darth Quaid had a question.
He's there. See, he's there. He's there. The Phantom of the Opera.
We're going to jump into the top Cowboys, most popular segment in Bitcoin. Top Cowboys, where you can see people's guns.
You guys aren't going to... I'm waiting for you guys to release or to fix this segment.
No, this is great. This is fantastic.
Carl, let's think of a new segment.
I think every time we do this segment, it gets better and better.
Let's just put our heads together, though.
Right now? Let's think. I guess we could do top comments, but I think that will just inflame even more downzapping.
But why not?
Man, we could do that. We could do
downzapping
top.
Still ends up in the rewards. Maybe it's we should still
have a,
good.
Maybe we should have a downzap category.
Stimulates the economy.
Maybe we should have a downzap category up here where all the down zaps.
That was proposed. That was another post. I didn't one of that. The top posts.
That'd
yeah.
be hilarious to see, just like the empty recycling bin.
No, let's look at the top comment right now.
Top comment was from.
Whoa.
Oh. Solomon Satoshi. Boom. There are a number of content writers who write a lot about them potentially virtue signaling. Okay.
Okay, right underneath that, Cindy Kate. Do you know about this?
No, what's going on here?
So check out who Cindy Kate is.
Who's Cindy Kate? I don't know. What's going on here?
They are posting the downzapped posts in a list so that you don't miss them.
I think this is all good, man. This is all experiment, man. So
it's
I think
fun.
This is good. Experiment, man.
Just don't mute Cindy Kate.
This just reminds me of another battle in the long history of Stacker News. It's just like the great battle of the down zappers, you know? It's one of those things. I mean, Scoresby should make that history lesson.
What's that merch comment that's really high zapped?
Like, I remember so many of these over the years.
Is that about Steam It?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, top comments is pretty good. But we're going back to the top Cowboys because that's what people come here for. And it's still the same people every week. Coop, Undisciplined, Blockchain Boog. Boog? Blockchain Boog? Great Ruby, Crypto Sensei. And yeah, everybody else. Keon, what do you think about the top snackers? Top Cowboys?
I think they're really giddying up.
Giddy on up?
Yeah.
So you're not showing the guns here, then, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you have to go to a person's profile to see the gun.
But you still highlight, like, how many people? Okay.
You're on the Cowboy page. See, the Cowboy is like our first badge, and we feel it is the most important badge that we have. The other ones were fun ways to communicate wallet status. That was kind of what we were going for. Less so like a point of pride, which they sort of became. But
yeah,
I support it.
I think this will pass. It all passes eventually with all the downzapping. But
I think the downzapping will continue. That is the nature.
Cool. That's all I got. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? I have a release that I've been letting to ship with stuff. I think I'm going to cut my beard and my hair. I'm going to be a different person.
Cut it off.
Starting next week, yeah.
Really?
I'm going to get rid of it, yeah.
You're going to get rid of it?
Yeah, with all these advancements in AI, I'm realizing that hair is unnecessary, so.
That's interesting.
But you're a wizard.
Not with AI anymore. I'm not a wizard.
Dang, AI is the wizard, huh?
AI is the wizard now, and I'm just a normal
human. But what are you doing this weekend?
I'll believe it when I see it. Me? I have to write a short story.
Oh, really? About
what? And I've got a couple paragraphs going on it, so I'm just going to work on that.
That should be fun.
I don't know what it's about, and that's why it's been hard to write.
It's really hard to write about things you don't know what you're writing.
Because I like things that are no plot, just vibes. It's hard to do when you're not feeling the vibe, so. Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Sounds good.
But I'll get there.
It sounds hard.
Can't wait to read it. Stackers, have yourself a great weekend.
What are you doing, Carr?
I'm tired. So tired. Probably just work. Got more work to do. Coming up on 2-hour episode.
All right.
Ready to go night.
Let's go.
Okay.
Zap. Stackers.